place. So maybe we can put the chart up. Of course, this is the review of the recent training, the book of Exodus. And there are three items of furniture that we've been studying this week. And that is the table, the bread of the presence, the lampstand, and the incense altar. Because of time, Israel and I are going to share on two of these. I covered the lampstand in May, so I have some burden to touch the table, but Israel will cover the incense altar. And then we hope that all of you can share what you've enjoyed in the Word this week with all the saints after we are finished. You know, there is a relationship between the ark, which we were covering last week, and the table. In the sequence of the divine revelation, right after the revelation on the ark and its cover, we come next to the table of the bread of the presence. And it's very meaningful in our spiritual experience. What this testifies or signifies is that when we are in the Holy of Holies, enjoying our God there, in between the cherubim, enjoying His presence, feasting on Him, in the holiest of all, immediately this altar, or simultaneously, this experience of the ark becomes a feast to us. It becomes a table to us where we can enjoy the bread of presence. We can enjoy and feast on the Lord. And this is my word this morning related to the priesthood serving in the holy place. And I just want to cover it in these few words: eating, constituting, serving, meeting, unbuilding. Just to cover these few words. First of all, only the priests were allowed to go into the holy place to serve at the table of the bread of the presence. All the children of Israel could bring an offering to the outer court, but only the priests had the privilege to serve God in the holy place. And this is very meaningful. There is a food here for the priests. There is the bread of the presence. Sometimes this is called the showbread because it was displayed in a certain fashion on the table. But there was food there for them. And I just have this, for this first point, I want to touch this burden. For us to serve in the church life, we need nourishment. We need food. Actually, all of us as Christian believers are New Testament priests. And we have the privilege of taking this bread, this food, which is a special supply for the serving ones. You know, in light of how the Lord is moving in the church here these days, raising up new districts, now we just closed our property in Flushing. Now the saints in Flushing will have so many opportunities for what? To serve the Lord. In very practical ways, cleaning the hall, serving the children, arranging the chairs, cooking, all kinds of opportunities to serve. Well, for us to serve, we need a special supply. We need the bread of the presence of God. We need this, also this will be translated, face with the presence. We need to be eating in the presence of God, and even eating God Himself as our weekly supply to serve. Which comes to this point mentioned in the verses that this bread was freshly spread or displayed every week. You know, the children of Israel, before they entered into the good land, they had God's supply of manna, right? They had food. They had food every day, and it was open, and anyone could take it. But this supply was not for everyone. It was for those serving priests. And I just have a strong burden. Brothers, sisters, I don't know how long you've been in the church life, and I don't know where you are serving or how much you are serving, but maybe some, and I know there are some, who just come to the meetings twice a week, three times a week, but not serving on a service group. I would encourage you, bring this matter to the Lord. The Lord needs more servants. And as we are expanding, as we are spreading, soon we will have the table at the Bronx. We'll have another district south of Brooklyn. We're trying to rent some property there. We will have the testimony in Mid-Hudson Valley not too long. And there is the need for many more New Testament priests to come and serve in the house of God. And that is what this picture is showing us. They were not just serving anywhere. They were serving in the holy place. They were serving in the tabernacle, which is the dwelling place of God at that time. Today, our service is in the church of God. We need to be those who are serving in the church of God. Now, some of you may say, oh, well, I'm in Jamaica, not here, with plenty of serving ones. I'm not so needed. Don't say that. Actually, some of us may need to go to other districts. My wife this morning is serving the children in Flushing. We have a children's meeting in Flushing this morning. Not yet at Rose Avenue, it's in one of the saints' homes. But she was burdened to go and serve the children. We're very happy about this. Many of us need to go. Maybe we've been serving in the service for here for 10, 15 years. We need to open it to the Lord. Maybe it's good for us to go serve in another district and encourage the saints there. But for this, we need a constitution. This comes to the second point. When we eat the Lord, we are being constituted. And it is from this constitution that we are being transformed. We are changing organically from one degree of, from our old, all the old things are being, cast out, they're being dealt with, and the life of God is adding himself to us, and we are constituted with triune God himself. We need such a constitution. It is out of this constitution that we serve and minister Christ to one another. I came into the church last night. I was burdened to serve. And I saw this book by Watson Nee, The Ministry of God's Word. I thought, I want to learn how to minister God's Word. So I'll read this book and I read this book and I was shocked. Brother Nee doesn't mention anything about how to minister God's word. He only touches your person. You are what we are. Or maybe put it this way. We minister what we are. What we are. So to be the serving priest, experience this point of the priest serving at the table. Bread of the presence, we need constitution. And the best way is by eating his word. That's why we have these verses in Jeremiah, Matthew 4:4, and John 6:7. We need to live by every word that proceeds out of our mouth. And just as the Lord Jesus lived because of the Father, we need to live because of him. We need to find his words morning by morning and eat them and enjoy them and be constituted with them. And just in the same way that we eat physical food and eventually our body is absorbing that food and there's an organic change taking place and those minerals and those vitamins and all the nutrients in that food are becoming our cells. They're becoming the fiber of our being. Tell us, you are what you eat. It is the same spiritually. The more we eat the Lord and his word, we are being constituted with the Lord. We are being constituted with the divine life in the word, through the word. So we need to be those spending time with the Lord morning by morning. And the more time, the better. The more time, and then even when we have a break, we can get into the word a little bit throughout the day. Maybe read the few chapters a day, we constituted the Word of God so that we could be those priests in God's building, in God's house, for the building up of the church. You know, one way to describe the Lord's recovery is that the Lord's recovery is the recovery of eating Christ for the building up of the church. When I first came into the church like that, Christian home, denomination, I didn't understand this at all. When the brothers and sisters would say, we need to eat Jesus. Actually, I have to say, I was offended by this word. Anyway, I got over that pretty quick. But I still have this question. How in the Bible does it say we Well, this point about feasting is throughout the entire Bible. Many items of feasting, many times of feasting, and that feasting implies enjoyment and eating, which issues in enjoyment. So we need to feast on the Lord. We need to enjoy the Lord. And we will be constituted again. For what? For the building up of the body of Christ. And then we come to this word, servant. As I mentioned, this table is in the holy place. So the priests are there serving in the house of God. And there is a weekly supply of this bread for your serving. Another point about the serving is, it is a corporate eating. There's a table spread there. And there are all loaves there. And the priests would eat together. And this is a real picture of our serving and service groups in the church. We're serving in a service group. We hope that every service group would come together to pray. At least once a week for each service. They would come together to feast together. Pray with the words together and have fellowship about their service together, because this is a corporate serving in the church. And this kind of feasting on the Lord and being constituted can only take place in the church. We can enjoy the Lord on our own, that's true, and we need to enjoy the Lord on our own, but this particular supply of the bread of the presence is reserved for those who are serving in the church life. Which brings us to the matter of meetings. I think we have 1 Corinthians 10, 16, and 17. Of the matter of verses. We enjoy the Lord's table this morning. Did you enjoy the Lord's table this morning? This is a real corporate feasting. Let's read these verses again. The cup of blessing which we bless, our enjoyment of the Lord individually is very precious, very necessary, but it cannot compare to our corporate enjoyment in the church meetings. In the church meetings, there is a rich peace. There is a special supply. So I would encourage you, never miss the church meetings. Church meetings are a real supply. And that is for our serving together, for our enjoyment of the Lord together. There is a supply for our going on in the church life as a serving one. We are enjoying the Lord together. And all of this is for the building. We read these verses in 1 Peter chapter 2. We have a longing there in verse 2, guileless milk of the word. So there's an eating there. But we also have a matter of building in verse 4 and 5, coming to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but God, chosen and precious. You yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up together as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. As we come together, we are being built up into a spiritual house, which here is the holy priesthood. You know, Peter doesn't mention the word church here, but he does mention the church as a spiritual house, as a holy priesthood. Even, not only a separated priesthood, but in verse 9, a royal priesthood, that we may tell out the virtues of. So our priesthood includes our enjoyment, our experience of Christ, our being constituted in Christ, so that we could express Christ to all those around us, and we could preach the gospel to those around us, to tell out the virtues of him to all those whom we meet. We have a marvelous priesthood in the New Testament. Every one of us are priests, so we need to enjoy him, we need to be filled with him, constituted with him, so that we may display him and express him in the church life, in our daily living. So I hope that many would consider this before the Lord, not serving, you would begin to serve. Watchmeni has a very precious lesson in the collective works. It's called Learn by Serving. I don't know what the Chinese title is. But we learn to serve by serving. And we may make mistakes, that's okay. Our real service is not here on earth. Our real service is in eternity future, where we will serve Him forever. Today is an apprenticeship. Today is our learning period. We're now in an apprenticeship, learning to serve. How do we learn? By serving. And those of us who are serving, it's your life, we can testify. We make a lot of mistakes, but we learn a lot from it. We learn to serve. We learn to serve in spirit, and we learn to take this supply of this marvelous bread of the presence by serving in the church life. So I'll just, this is what I enjoy. Israel will share with us.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we are a royal priesthood.
Amen.
And this is our home.
Amen.
I would just like to share a couple of things regarding the golden incense altar. Of course, this is a review, so many of us have already gotten into this a couple times. But in particular, the prayer at the incense altar is a particular prayer, and then also it results in the producing of an army. So this is an important point that we'd like to spend some time on this morning. Of course, the golden incense altar is the place where the high priest burns the incense. And as many Christians realize, incense is a picture of our prayer. But it's a particular prayer. So you may consider all of our enjoyments of all of these parts of the tabernacle, and how do we enjoy these portions of the tabernacle? It's by prayer. How do we enjoy Christ as our Redeemer at the altar of the burnt offering? It's by praying. In our prayer, we confess our sins. In our prayer, we repent and turn to the Lord, and we receive Him as our sacrifice. We receive the shedding of the blood, and we receive forgiveness. It's by our coming to Him in prayer. And when we realize that we have dirt, we have filth, then we come to the labor, and we pray to the Lord for cleansing. Even we may just call on the Lord for 5 minutes, and that washes us. That also is a prayer. Then, of course, we mentioned the table, eating the Word. That is also by prayer. When we pray, read the Word, we enjoy the nourishment of the Word. And also by our prayer, we enjoy the Lord's shining, His exposing and His shining from the lamps. So all of these items we enjoy by prayer. And then in particular, of course, when we get to the ark, where God actually is, where He is dwelling, we enjoy His presence. That is very much by prayer. But the prayer at the golden incense altar, again, is a particular prayer. It is not all of these other kinds of prayers. It is a prayer for God's move. A prayer for God's administration. God is not just there in the heavens doing nothing. God has a will. God has a mission. And God has a purpose. And He has a way to carry out that purpose. That's unveiled all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, where He says, "Let us make a man in our image, and let him have dominion." So God's purpose is to be expressed through man, and to have a dominion, a realm of rule on the earth where His enemy is dealt with. For this, God needs our prayers. And in particular, we don't just pray by ourselves. We need to follow the one who got to the incense altar. The first one, and that is Christ, our High Priest. So we read the verses in Hebrews chapter 7. If you scroll back to Hebrews chapter 7. So let's read these two verses again.
But he who was he abides forever, as his priesthood unalterable.
그런 예수님은 영원히 남아있기 때문에 영원한 당신의 예수입니다. 그러므로 그 영원한 하나님이 나오는 사람들을 철저히 구원하실 수 있습니다. 예수님은 항상 살아계셔서 그들을 위하여 죽은 보좌를 하시기 때문입니다. 아버지가
들어오셨습니다.
특별한 기도를
하셨습니다.
For us, he is praying
for us, and this is a prayer that is motivating all the experiences throughout the tabernacle. He's praying for us to experience Christ at the burnt offering. He's praying for us to be washed. He's praying for us to be nourished by the word and to be enlightened by the lamp. So this prayer motivates all the operations throughout the tabernacle. And it's this kind of prayer that I would say is top enjoyment in prayer. If you have been praying for someone, we can pray for someone's prosperity, someone's well-being, we can pray for their health. But when we pray for their salvation, isn't your spirit just burning? The level of your prayer just gets higher and higher. When we pray for someone's salvation, when we pray for that person's growth, we pray for that person to enjoy the Lord in the Word and to participate in the priesthood in the church life, that is when our prayer gets higher and higher. This is the interceding that the Lord needs from us. And in particular, we don't just pray this by ourselves, but we are joining with Christ who is praying the same prayer.
Amen.
This is the prayer that God needs to accomplish His will. And we also read Revelation chapter 8. We don't need to read them again. But we chose these verses because it shows that this prayer is the prayer that accomplishes God's will and moves His hand. This is the prayer that after it ascends to God's throne, then He answers with the fire
pass
and with the thunders, the voices, and the
earthquakes.
This shows that this kind of prayer touches God's throne. You may say that this golden incense altar is the center of God's administration. Just as Washington, D.C. is the center of the federal administration of this country. And if you want to go even more, it's the White House. Because that's where the president signs the bills. That's where the things really happen. So, for us to pray at the golden incense altar, this is not prayer for ourselves. This is prayer for God's will. You consider the Lord's prayer, or when the disciples ask the Lord to just help them pray. And the Lord said, pray in this way. What was the first thing of that prayer? After addressing the Father, the first thing is, Father, your name be sanctified, your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven so also on earth.
That's the
Lord's
prayer.
Yes, let's read all that. Let's read that verse here.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so also on earth.
So this is a prayer that we need to pray for His will to be done on earth.
Amen.
And the age of darkness proceeds, this kind of prayer should be more and more desperate. As we're seeking the Lord, we just pray more and more, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. The Lord needs us to proceed to this kind of prayer so that he can turn the
page.
Now, an interesting thing in Exodus 30, you may say, well, all these chapters in Exodus are covering, are describing the tabernacle. But suddenly, after describing the golden incense altar, the Lord takes a turn and says to Moses, count the men of Israel, count them for the forming of an army. And then each one that you count needs to give half a shekel of silver for their ransom or for their expiation. This is interesting because it's not covering the tabernacle, but it shows that the prayer at the incense altar is very much critically linked with the carrying out of God's purpose on the earth. God has an enemy. So to carry out his purpose on the earth, he needs an army. And for the army, he needs a soldier. There are many points on this that I don't have time to cover, but the one point that I would like to cover is that the ones who are counted are the men who are the counselors and the
women. Of
course, in the typology of the Bible, male signifies the stronger life. And that doesn't mean the sisters are not participating. It just means it's the stronger ones. And then the 20 years old indicates that there is some growth in life. I would never expect my young children to fight in the army. They need growth. They need maturity. And so the prayer very much is, again, for the saints to proceed through all these experiences. It's for our growth. It's for our maturity. And in particular, in spiritual life, it's our transformation. And that's our being filled with life. We need to pray daily, Lord, transform me. And Lord, transform my brothers and sisters. Fill them with life to maturity. Then what is this fight that we fight? Let's read Ephesians 6. Chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12.
I believe
in the power of the Lord. 마지막으로 말합니다. 여러분, 그리고 그분의
그분을
통해 합니다. 마귀의 신비적인 지향을 할 수 있도록 완전한 신성비로 포장하십시오. 우리 싸움은 피와 살이 있는 사람을 대항하는 것 아닙니다. 순천령과 권력사들과 일본인과 하늘들의 인생들과 인생들의 지향을 하십니다. 그러므로
Okay, so the warfare here, the battle, is not against flesh and blood. That is, we're not fighting people, and we're not fighting anything
but
the earth. The enemy, God's enemy, Satan and his princes are in the air. So that means this battle is a spiritual battle. And that means we need to fight from a level that is above the enemy.
Amen.
Not from here on earth. We need to fight with Christ where he is, in the heavens, in ascension. So that's why the men who gave their half shekels, it was given as a heave offering. The heave offering is like this. That's ascension. That means we need to fight in ascension. And how do we experience the Lord in ascension? Well, that takes growth in life. And that takes maturity. We don't wake up in the morning in ascension.
Right?
We wake up on the earth. Maybe we might even wake up outside of the outer court. So we pray, Lord Jesus, I come to you. Oh Lord, wash me. Forgive me of my sins. And that brings you into the outer court. But don't remain there. Right? And last time I spoke here, I said we had to go all the way in. Well, this time I'd like to say further, we go all the way in for what? Be in ascension to fight for the Lord's will to be done. Oh, what a wonderful portion we have as priests.
Amen.
To bring his will down to earth.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so now we will break to the different languages for prophesying.